This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Orgullosamente latino hasta la muerte y después. Worldwide Latino Pride, the ambassadors of violence. LAX, K-Dog, the notorious 187 homicide.
Bang,
the
bang, the bang, bang.
Don't say nothing.
Bang, the bang, the bang, bang.
We be
dumping.
Bang,
the bang, the bang, bang.
Just act like you know, and when we stop,
I can do stomping. I'm from Miami, not Compton. Down with the essays in the 6-4 hopping. To my Boricuas in the 787. And those up in Brooklyn pulling 211.
I come through stomping, rolling in my low top chucks. Making sure you suckers feel me every time we bust. Shackled up like a nut, going 5150. G'd up in the feet up, when the stuff is some dickies.
I rap a lot, like the label out of Houston. Sneaky like the clock up in the shop, straight boosting. To all my gente down in Juarez. Calma de un momento, paisa, no dispares.
Put it down from Killer Kelly to the MIA. Ask the homie Crazy K, yo man, that boy don't play. It's in my N-I-A-K, putting it down all day.
We're getting Vince on here.
All right,
call him up.
Hello?
Okay, Vince, all right. Yeah. For Conan,
before we get to anything, were you furnished, Vince, by Jeff Lane with a recording that I sent you from this show asking you why I have not been invited to your vinyl show? Because we were going to go over, I think, REO Speedwagon, an invitation you gave me like 3 years ago.
No, I was not given that recording by Jeff Lane, no.
Oh, huge heat.
Okay.
I will say, though, bro, I have been trying to call you on the number you're calling me on. Bro, I can't call on that number for some reason.
Yeah, it's because we're in a Skype call, so that's probably why.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So
did you like my appearance on Major League Baseball? Wait one second.
Oh, bro, you Conan, I, as a shoot, I popped huge. when I heard Koenig, bro, I watched that show every day religiously. When I heard you were in the studio, I popped huge, bro. Absolutely brilliant on the show, bro. Brilliant.
Yes.
Okay.
And I got to meet the girl, Shahadi or whatever her name is.
Oh, that was my next question, bro. That was my next question.
Bro, she's gorgeous and funny.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a jock, bro. You know, I mean, she was a big jock in college. Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the teeth of this. You got to tell, because Conan's having trouble wrapping his head around this. Okay.
Okay.
Can you give him a short synopsis of why you think that AEW and WWE are working together?
Okay, yeah, because it's that with everything that's been happening, and I've been documenting everything. Okay. It's either one of two things, bro. It's either they're working together, or the people at the top of WWE management, including Vince McMahon himself, are just totally inept. And I don't believe that. I don't believe Bruce Pritchard, you know, Jeff Jarrett, Triple H, you know, Paul Heyman. I don't think those people are incompetent. I really don't.
Well, let me ask you a question. Then if they're not incompetent, which we know they're not, why is the show so ridiculously bad?
I don't know, bro. But there are a couple of glaring things. There are a couple of glaring things, bro. Tony, and you got to go all the way back to the history when for years and years and years, you know, Paul Heyman and ECW were playing this card. You know, they were the outlaws. They were the radicals. They were the bad boys. They're burying WWE programming, you know, on their show. And, bro, at the end of the day, from day one, Heyman was in bed with the WWE. From day one. None of the boys knew about it. Everybody was kayfabe, but they were in bed together. Now, you got to look at how did that come about? Bro, Vince McMahon did not know anything about ECW. He never watched ECW. He didn't know any of the talent there. That deal came together because Heyman and Pritchard were friends. So Heyman and Pritchard talked about this. Pritchard then brought this to Vince, laid it all out for Vince, and the next thing you know, they're working together. The boys are kayfabe. Nobody knows about this.
Okay, can I ask you one quick question? Can I just ask you one quick question?
Go ahead.
So are you sure that they're working together since day one, or could it have been that midway through ECW's popularity, Vince came to with Paulie with a money offer, and then they started working together?
Bro, I could tell you this. My good friend Ben Hameen just worked a show.
One of the conspiracy horsemen?
Yeah, other conspiracy horsemen.
that believes the Earth is flat.
Yeah, listen to me, bro.
Okay.
Just worked a show with Tommy Dreamer,
right?
Mr. ECW.
Right.
And Tommy Dreamer said he believed they were working from the get-go.
Wow.
Tommy Dreamer, bro.
Tommy with this. Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Nobody was more ingrained in ECW than Tommy Dreamer.
Right.
And
nobody.
Right. And that's Tommy's feeling that they were working together from day one. Now, bro, fast forward 20 years. Okay, bro. All of a sudden.
But can I ask you one more question? Can I ask you one more question?
Go ahead, Tony.
Vince.
Yeah.
Why would, now you work for WWE, you grew up a WWE fan. Why would Vince give a fuck about some company that Paul Lee is helping run that from day one, which had really no stars when they really began, and it had like Shane Douglas and a couple people, but it didn't really, why would he want finance that from day one, a company
that's
that really.
Bro, you got to go back to the time, Conan, because this is history repeating itself.
Right.
Bro, going back to that time, just like now, WWE was in a shitter. And, bro, the difference back then is not only were they in the shitter creatively, they were in the shitter financially, bro. They were in the red at that point. And, bro, you got to understand, when you're talking about Bruce Pritchard, bro, you're talking about one out of the three greatest workers in the history of the business. Bro, the three greatest workers in the history of the business, freaking, you know, Bruce Pritchard, Jeff Jarrett and Paul Heyman. So you had two out of the three biggest workers in the business. Bruce was in charge of creative. He didn't have any creative ideas. The company was in the shitter. Oh, bro, next thing you know, there's this hostile takeover where Sandman's jumping the freaking barrier. Everything that was laid out between Paul Heyman and Bruce Pritchard, the entire thing was a work. Now, fast forward 20 years later, bro, where's the WWE? In the shitter. The creative is perhaps the worst it's ever been in history, bro. All of a sudden, no rhyme, reason, or explanation, Bruce Pritchard is hired again. Now, bro, let's not forget Stephanie McMahon fired Bruce Pritchard. When Vince McMahon handed creative over to Stephanie and Triple H, Stephanie did not want Bruce working there, did not want Bruce on creative. Stephanie fired Bruce. Bruce and Vince had a 20-something year relationship, and Vince allowed it to happen and literally backed up his daughter, and Bruce Pritchard gets fired from the
WWE. Let me ask you a question. I didn't know that she fired him, but didn't he also have, like, pill problems or some shit like that?
What kind of problems?
Like pill problems?
I know we had gout. I don't know.
I think like you went to rehab. Well, what would gout have to
be? I could tell you when I worked with Bruce at TNA. I mean, he laid it out for me that Stephanie was the one that fired him. And bro, that's why I didn't go back to the WWE at the time, because Stephanie did not want me there. I mean, she made it clear to me.
Why do you think she didn't want you there, Vince?
Bro, because her and Hunter wanted to be 100% in control. They didn't want anybody there that knew more than they did about writing a television show, television ratings. They just did not want anybody there who could challenge them. And I mean, bro, you could see where it went from there. I mean, for the last 20 years, it's been nothing but minions. And, you know, that's why I didn't go there, because she did not want me there and I knew it.
Right.
So now, bro, fast forward. Out of the clear blue sky, freaking Bruce Pritchard is hired. Okay, rumor had it that he was hired back in January, but it was kind of kayfabe at the beginning. Nobody was talking about it. We never find out what Bruce's role is. There's never an official statement from the WWE. We all know, bro, Pritchard has ties with Conrad. Pritchard and Conrad Thompson are good friends. Conrad Thompson is heavily involved in AEW. So now, bro, what you're looking at is you're literally looking at Conrad Thompson playing the role of Paul Heyman. All of us know, bro, how intelligent Conrad Thompson is. All of us know how badly Bruce wanted to go back to the WWE. And, bro, I'm telling you, Conrad and Bruce sold Vince on this idea to create a fabricated war so it looks like they have competition. Bro, it's ECW and WWE all over again.
I'm going to shoot this down. Yo, Conan and Joe.
Ew.
Breaking news. Manscaped is now selling beard products. That's right. They've gone from waist to face to help you replace that bulky razor with their brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. Manscaped helps you get the golden rod of a Greek god. Now they've created the best tools for you to turn heads with a clean, perfectly groomed and conditioned beard. Finally tame your mane by going to manscaped.com and use our code K100 for 20% off plus free shipping. This kit is about to change your life. The Beard Hedger Pro Kit has made it easier than ever to craft your signature look. It will take your facial hair anywhere from Gandalf, the Great Wizard, to Totally Bear. You can even look like the ZZ Top guys if you want to. LaGrange, great song. You agree, Conan?
Tremendous.
It all starts with the Beard Hedger, and this thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. It's waterproof, and its cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths, all with just one guard. Perfect. No more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. And now you heard that. No more drawers full of 20 different guards. It's just
Thank
one
God.
Guard. Perfect, yeah. So with 20 lights, it's never so easy to find your beard look. Plus, the trimmer has a titanium-coated T-blade that is tough on the hair but smooth on your face. Do you know that I'm slim in the waist but cute in the face? Would you agree to that?
You are a Southern belle.
Yeah, the Pro Kit is much more than a trimmer, Joe. It comes with four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care, and it has the beard shampoo and conditioner. All your hair is different. Your bearded hair is much more coarse and easier to damage. That's why they get a shampoo and conditioner specifically Dynamorph, specifically designed to moisturize, reduce ingrown hairs, and replenish your natural oils, promoting beard health. Well, then they have the beard oil, too. And this nutrient-infused oil relieves dryness both on the beard and the skin beneath. And they cap it off with the beard balm. So pomade that shapes, styles, and moisturizes, bringing the amazing scent of fresh eucalyptus, rosemary, and lavender essential oils. Fantastic. And the beard kit also comes with three free gifts. Guess what they are? A beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with their code K100 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use our code K100.
To Manscaped, which we love your products. We use them. We swear by them, okay?
Let me ask you a question. Sami Zayn follows you on Twitter, right?
Right.
You guys follow each other? Why don't you DM him our promo code here and see if he can...
if he's interested.
Yeah, Manscaped. He's interested for his beard, yeah.
Yeah, perfect, I think right? That's part of his personality right now.
Yeah.
But anyway, so check out Manscaped. That brings you the most comfortable underwear you've ever tried. They got this leather bag that's awesome. Everything they do is high quality. So check out all their products at Manscaped. Boom.
I'm going to shoot this down right now with a very basic factoid, okay? That number one, the only supporter I'm seeing online for your theory is Marty Tude. Okay, so that's it. And he keeps tweeting about your theory, all right? Number two. If they're not going head-to-head, your theory is hogwash, okay? Because if they want competition, the competition came from the Monday Night Wars, right? If they do not go head-to-head, then they are not in bed with each other. Would you agree with that?
Glenn, remember when Sandman tried to come over the barricade at a WWE event?
Yes.
Remember that? You will see that before the end of the year. I'm telling you, bro, you will see that. AEW, WWE on Fox starting in October. I am telling you, by December 31st, you're going to see that same exact thing happen again.
All right. And then here's – what about this then?
So let me see if I got this right.
What about your boy, Chris Jericho? Listen to this. Listen to this little statement. Chris Jericho. Somebody asked Chris Jericho, hey, what do you think about Russo's theory? Chris Jericho said, you know, clickbait, there's – not even a 1% chance of that being the truth. Bro, why would Jericho say that? Why wouldn't Jericho say there is no chance of that being the truth? Bro, he said there is not even a 1% chance. Think about that for a second, bro. He didn't say no chance.
I think what's happening here is you're doing too many shows with Ben Heyman and okay. Stevie Richards and those guys.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think pretty soon, Vince, that you are going to be doing your show wearing a tinfoil hat. Okay, I think that's where we're headed.
Conan, can I have a conversation with you? Talking to him once a week is enough for me. Conan, hear me out for a second, Conan.
Yeah. No, I heard what you said.
But let me say one other thing, Conan. Can we get back to the theory of they're either in bed or incompetent? Can we get back to that theory?
Right, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Bro, 2 days after the AEW show, everybody's talking about it, bro. You know everybody's putting this show over. Okay, bro? What do they do on Raw in 2 days?
Nothing.
Sami Zayn goes out there and puts AEW over. He mentions AEW. Now, bro, you have to understand, again, I can only go on my experience. When I was at the WWE and you guys were kicking our ass, bro, this is how we went about business. When we were in second place, we threw the freaking kitchen sink at WCW. The minute, bro, we flip-flopped the ratings, we never mentioned WCW again. Bro, you don't mention the guy in second place. You just don't. So, bro, let's look at the Sami Zayn incident. There are two schools of thought. The first school is it was actually written, okay? The second school was Sami Zayn went into business for himself, and there were reports that Vince was at the gorilla position going bullshit, okay, bro? Meanwhile, bro, there's a seven-second delay, and Vince is on the headset with Kevin Dunn. And all Vince has to say is, Kevin, hit the delay. Bro, that did not happen. So it was either scripted or it was either allowed to be said, which brings me back to what I said at the beginning. Either they're in bed together or that is okay. Total incompetence on Vince's part, and I don't believe that, bro. Okay.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'll tell you what I believe just hearing what you're telling me now and what I know. So they're either in bed or they're incompetent, or there's a third one, they're in big trouble. And they've lost their way a long time ago. And the fact that, you know, Vince still sees the business like he did 20, 30 years ago and has not changed with it is holding that company back. Now, obviously, they would be working me. Why wouldn't they work me? But when I've heard comments being around Cody and the Young Bucks and Tony, like they hate that place. So does Jericho. Like you can tell there's genuine hate. You know, and they could be working me. And it ain't like they're going to tell me, hey, don't tell nobody.
No, but Conan, I don't think, Conan, wait a minute, bro. I don't think they're working you at all. Conan, yeah. I don't think the boys are not in on this.
Right.
I'm telling you, bro, the boys weren't in on it back when Dreamer didn't know about it back at ECW. Bubba, Shane Douglas, nobody was in on it. I was at the WWE. I didn't know it was going on until Vince told me. I'm telling you, bro.
So
the
who would not be in on it? I know, but you got to remember, Cody and the Young Bucks aren't just the boys; they're vice presidents of the company. So you would. So who would know? Bruce and Tony Khan? And why would Tony Khan's dad be in on this too? Saying, "Oh yeah, I own this company," when he doesn't. You know what I'm saying?
Bro, listen, look at what Tony Khan and Vince McMahon can do for each other. Tony Khan is a wrestling mark, bro. Who could teach him more about the wrestling business than Vince McMahon? You think Tony Khan really believes that Cody Rhodes can teach him more about the wrestling business than Vince McMahon? And let's look at Vince McMahon, bro. What has Vince always wanted? He's always wanted an NFL franchise. He's always wanted a sports franchise to the point of now starting the XFL for a second time. And bro, whose advice could he use more than Tony Khan's? When you look at what the both of those guys want and what the other guys have, bro, it's a perfect relationship.
Wait a second.
It wouldn't be Tony Khan.
I never thought of that until I brought it up.
I thought this is what happens.
Tony Khan gets a WWE and Vince McMahon gets a Jacksonville Jaguars and everybody's happy.
Maybe, bro.
And both of them have global marketing theories because there's none of – there's the Globe. Tony Khan wants to make the Jacksonville Jaguars the London Jaguars, and they want to take the NFL global. Who's a better global marketer than Vince McMahon?
Right. Well, that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that I would say –
Conan, can I tell you another thing? Have you been in the locker room much with the Bucks and stuff?
Not a lot, no.
Yeah, but like, you know, Glenn smartened me up about that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I thought that the freaking Bucks, I just thought they were, like, two of the biggest marks I ever saw. Like, I say it all the time, bro. The marks have made it to the wrestling ring.
Oh, yeah. And the biggest marks are in the dressing room.
Yeah, but it wasn't until Glenn actually smartened me up on one of the shows. He goes, I was in the dressing room with the Bucks, and I sat back and I watched them and I listened to them. And Glenn said, bro, they are clearly working the marks. They know what they're doing. They are working the marks just like everybody else. So, bro, I don't think any of the boys would be in on this, because the cat would be out of the bag in 5 minutes if the boys knew. I really think this is just at the very, very top. Bro, if anybody knows, I'm telling you, on the AEW side, it's Conrad Thompson and it's Tony Khan. Well,
maybe ultimately that's where the whole change of the world comes from, is that this is the big master plan. They're changing the world. They're like,
you know, so the other thing that I wanted to bring up is when you said, well, yeah, you know, who would Tony rather learn from Cody than from Vince? How about Tony just wanting to do his own shit and not having to learn from anybody, just whatever his vision is of wrestling and whoever is around
him? No, Conan, bro, like I said to you, bro, it's one of two things for me. They're either in bed together, or Vince McMahon, Triple H, or Bruce Pritchard, they're all incompetent. I mean, so like, I'm not saying, bro, they're definitely in bed together. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, if they're not, freaking right. Vince, Bruce, Triple H, these guys don't have a clue what the F they're doing. And I find that hard to believe, bro.
Here's what I say to that. They're in trouble. They're in trouble. And maybe the business has passed some of them by.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. Man? Yeah.
If you're in trouble.
Right.
And the creative is as bad as we see it, right?
Right.
I mean, you're not going to argue that with me. The creative is horrible, right?
No, it's terrible. Right. And here's the thing that I always say. Here's the thing that I always say. When people get mad, oh, you're picking on WWE. No. I love it. That's why I'm mad, because it isn't what it used to be. And I have every right to criticize it. Yeah.
But Conan, with that being said, you're going to bring in Bruce Prichard to run your creative? Bro, that's
Bro, I got confirmation. Jeff Jarrett is an SVP of creative. Remember we talked about this?
We did talk about that. But Glenn, outside of a title, can you really believe that, bro?
I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
I don't know.
Now you got all these theories. But you know what you need to do? Invite Conan on your show, because you owe him an appearance, because you're supposed to be on the vinyl show.
Yeah, whatever happened about that? I still haven't gotten an answer.
We're gonna do a whole music show, because Matt Coon quit on me, bro, because he couldn't handle the brand. So me and you are gonna do a whole show on music. We're not even gonna talk about wrestling, bro.
Well, I'm glad that 3 years later, after I've been bugging you about it, you're gonna bring me on. That doesn't sound like much of an invitation.
All right.
It's an invitation, bro.
All right, well, Vince, thank you for jumping on here.
Thank you very much, Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
Bro, but anytime. You know I love you guys. Thank you. Right, Conan, I'm serious, though, bro. So I'll – bro, that number I texted you on, is that still your number?
I don't think you texted me. I think you might have texted
me. I texted you when you were at MLB, because you didn't –
Yeah, that's your legit number.
I'll give you a call on the number.
All right. Thank you.
All right, man. Take care, man.
Peace. So what do you think now? That is Siri.
Oh, well, I think he's wrong. I just told him all the reasons why I think he's wrong.
Conan.
What up?
You may have noticed an increase in articles, videos, and posts recently talking about the health risks of inadequate sleep. Well, if you've been listening to this show, you know that Legacy Sports Nutrition has been telling you guys that for years. Do you want less belly fat, more testosterone, more energy, better mood? There's one hack that doesn't require a change in diet or more exercise. Improve your sleep with Recovery PM. My favorite product from Legacy Sports Nutrition, Joe's 2. Take 2 Recovery PM about an hour before bed and feel the difference in the quality of sleep you get, and after a couple weeks, you'll notice how everything else is improving. Recovery PM is a top-selling product at LegacySubs.com, and that's because over 80% of the people that buy it once come back for more. That's not marketing, that's results. So Joe's been using it, feels great. He's nice. He's at a party right now. So Joe gets so much sleep, good sleep. He's able to go out to parties, surprise birthday parties on Friday nights.
Right, and I show up on the show. Yeah.
Right. So try it now. You won't regret it. Go to LegacySupps.com. That's LegacySupps.com or RecoveryPM.com. That's RecoveryPM.com. And use code K100 for an extra 10% off your order. And of course, using code K100 supports this show too. Level up your life with Recover PM now from Legacy Sports Nutrition and our boy Nick Aldis.
And I don't use the all-in-one, but I'm going to. I use the nighttime fat burner, which has done, which has been very effective. Check out for fat burning, for muscle gain, for anything that you can imagine. They have Legacy Subs for men and Legacy Subs for women. Check that out at LegacySubs.com. Boom. So anyways, I don't know if you've ever gone on the Wrestling Observer website. Mm-hmm. You ever go on there?
If Meltzer, like I'll check Meltzer's timeline every once in a while.
Right.
And if there's a story that's linked that I want to read about, I'll go on it.
All right. Well, I'll usually go to his website maybe twice a week just to catch up on shit that, right. You know, because he's always has really stuff that I don't even know where, you know what I'm saying? So
did he give you a free password?
I get a free Observer every week. Yeah,
you mean they send you one in the mail still?
You read the paper one, right? You don't read it online.
Yeah, I read it online, but they still send me a paper one.
Okay,
do they really?
Yeah,
that's you. You're old school. You still like the paper?
Yeah, not that much anymore. It's too much. Too much, bro. It's just, you know, he writes a lot.
Right.
let me see. So on his website. He does this where he'll put like a back issue, like a back Observer, mm-hmm. You know, like yeah. This week's.
Right. Yeah. Like I'll see those he posts, but this week in right. Like 19.
I love those. Right. Yeah. I love those because it's a time capsule. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. He basically captures everything that happened, and there's stuff that I forgot about or stuff that I didn't even know about. And I'm like, really? That happened? Or I didn't remember that, but it's there, you know? So I was looking at one that he had from, I'm going to tell you the date, June 9th, 2003, okay? And mm-hmm. He's talking about TNA, which you were booking at that time or helping book, right? Or no?
That was the Asylum shows.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So want me to read you a couple of things here and see what you remember and give me some little like thoughts on them?
Yes.
All right. So it says, see if you remember this. It says I don't remember this at all. You probably do. It says the backstage turmoil at the 528 show was huge. It's so weird because there are times I think because it's Vince Russo and because he and Jeff Jarrett have been longtime friends, they're working everybody, except that it's for the most part only the wrestlers that talk about it. The show was a Russo type show, was more of a Russo type show with tons of stuff and little good wrestling. The poll was
offensive, by the way. That's offensive.
All right. The poll.
You saw the crew we had, right?
Yeah. AJ Daniels.
That's ridiculous to sit there saying.
Well, it doesn't matter if you could have a bad. Well, here's a poll. This is the fans, not him. It says the poll was 7 thumbs up, 31 down, and 8 in the middle. So are the fans wrong too? Maybe there was a bad.
Well, these are Observer fans.
Right.
So you know. So yeah. I don't know. Right? I can't remember.
About wrestling?
Well, you're asking
ask you some stuff.
Here's my question. A date, and all you've told me so far is
this is page one of the story. Am I supposed to put the ending on the very first page? The story.
I will, but I want to predict something, okay? Yeah. For backstage turmoil, I would suggest it probably has a lot to do with Jeff and Raven.
Yes,
let's go.
Yes. Okay. That's exactly. And that was true because I read there
yeah.
was.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. That was my prediction. Oh,
so I just don't. Here's the thing, bro. Since I wasn't, and you know me, dude. You know, I wasn't a backstage politic guy. I was never in the office going, Glenn, what are you guys going to do with me next? Or why are you doing this? Or why are you, you know what I'm saying?
No, my you're always all smoking pot with Truth and BG.
Yeah.
Wait, let me just interject something real quick. What date did you say the Observer was?
June 9th, 2003.
What's interesting is the previous TNA show before that was main evented by Jeff Jarrett versus Glenn Gilberti. So I'm just saying.
For sure. Yeah.
And I think in this show it's Glenn and Raven and Jarrett or something like that. Yeah. But I'll get to it because I don't remember none of this. So I just want to see what you remember. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm reading this and I'm like, wow, how high was I? I don't remember none of this shit. So anyways, it says the best match. See if you remember any of this, okay? Mm-hmm. It says the best match was interesting because it was a squash match with D'Lo Brown and AJ Styles over Jason Cross and CM Punk, which only went 4:29. Mm-hmm. And I'd agree with it because they did a fast-paced match that the crowd got into the last minute. Ironically, the original plan was for a local jobber team. I don't even remember these guys. See if you do, called the Kingpins.
Maybe. Yeah, there were two fat guys.
Okay, who do a bowler tag team gimmick.
Right, yeah.
Okay, to be squashed here. But either Jarrett or Bob Ryder, I don't know what Ryder had to do with this, but it says this is, but either Jarrett and or Bob Ryder change a job or team, which saved things.
He booked the like enhancement guys, I think, Ryder.
Oh, he did?
The guys
here,
from, like,
here was the thing. You got to understand, when Punk came to TNA, Jeff and Vince didn't really know much about him at all. And I knew him from the indies. I thought he was a pretty good indie worker, but he was like the main eventer of like indie shows in Pittsburgh,
Ring of Honor,
you know, like and stuff. Right. So, and okay. But Raven was the one that was really politicking for Punk, like when he came in. And I just don't really remember a lot about that because, you know, they put Punk in a gimmick and he was at he ended up doing some stuff, but it wasn't like I remember a lot about that.
Right.
He was in
so that thing that them doing a job match here is nobody. If you look, there was a lot of guys that did. You know, me and Mike Sanders beat Daivari and Mr. Kennedy on one of those shows. I didn't even know about that. But these were brothers. 2003. These are
I know
all,
me. I know, bro. Right, me neither. Yeah. Like Luke Koch was like I was there, and I was like I don't even remember him. You know,
he was like Altar Boy Luke.
Altar Boy Luke.
Yeah, Altar Boy Luke. Remember the skinny little kid?
Yeah, but you know he wasn't. You know,
right,
you don't
right exactly
underneath.
These were the indie guys that, like, you know, this is the thing. Burt Prentice used to book a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, because they were all kind of around the Tennessee, you know, because there was still a lot of indies in Tennessee and stuff around there. So they would get that indie Tennessee scene and get those guys in there because they could drive, you know?
And plus, the other thing is that I remember we had Heat for a long time and then Jackie fixed it and he was mad because he says that one time he offered me a ride and I was said no or
big
was rude.
Yeah,
and I was like, who knows? I was probably.
I could see that.
If you're giving me a free ride to the show, I'm taking it. So something that must have been, you know, who knows what happened. So, because usually you had to go like in this fucking van that they brought to the hotel. But anyways,
right. So Conan,
what up?
I've been training and I've been taking my AG1 by Athletic Greens every day. What a product! Everything you need. I used to take a lot of vitamins. Okay, I'm a pretty healthy guy. I'm very much into personal health, diet, exercise. But I was taking, I had all my vitamins, and I had like 8-9 bottles of vitamins that I would take. Athletic Greens is the perfect replacement for that. It's got 75 high quality ingredients. Like I said, everything you need. It's a comprehensive health and power of habit in one. It's great for recovery. I take mine after my workout. You can take it, there's many different ways you can take it, but taking it after the workout is perfect for me because I get my nutrition like right when I'm done working out because I do intermittent fasting. So it's like, it's perfect. It inspires me to be as great as the athletes that I'm a fan of. You know, I like to work out and like these guys take this too. It's like AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It's all of your key health products in one. Joe, you've been taking it too, right?
Yeah, and as you mentioned before, you can, you know, drink it in the morning, drink it later on in the day after a workout. I kind of rotate, just depends on how I'm feeling that day, but I love having it in the morning. I did replace coffee with it, and sometimes I'll use it after I do my fight camp workout. So, but the taste is great, and you feel noticeably different. You know, sometimes later in the day, you get a little lethargic and whatnot. Just pop in your AG1 by Athletic Greens, have your drink, and or take it to the gym, you know. It works very, very well.
Yeah, you get your daily nutrients, 75 high quality ingredients, all in one. It's a comprehensive solution
and it's what you need for your supplemental routine. The Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Konien. That's athleticgreens.com/KONNAN. Check this product out. I use it every day. Joe Rogan uses them as a sponsor. You can tell this is the type of product that if you're into physical fitness and you're into personal health, you need AG1 by Athletic Greens.
Yo, and real quick, it contains chlorophyll, which carries oxygen to the blood cells. It boosts your immune system, better digestion, whole plethora of things. All three of us use it. We all swear by it.
But check that out at athleticgreens.com/Konien.
Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Okay, then it says, worst match was Kid Cash versus Trinity. And really, that was possibly the worst match of the year, and I don't know how many horrible women's matches they are going to have before they get a clue, and I would agree okay. with that, because the women were not good.
No, let me tell you something. The women, there were good, and let me tell you why they were.
I think they were good.
No, because they weren't very – let me tell you something. They maybe weren't good, like, for a Dave Meltzer, but if you watch
they
a lot of the
good
shit,
for me, bro.
No, but here's the thing. We didn't do a lot of, like, long matches with the girls. We would have to do, like, catfights and brawl.
Right.
And like the girls, they were very, they weren't, they were kind of green, but they were very snug.
Kind of, they were all.
But here's my point: they were kind of.
And I remember Trinity especially because this was the deal with her, and I like her. She used to do a moonsault, so everybody used to go, "Oh my gosh, she's a great wrestler!" No, she can hit a moonsault, and that's what about it. And now you guys think that she can wrestle. You know what I'm saying? It was the same problem with Sexy Star and Lucha Underground. They thought she was this tremendous wrestler. And I like, yeah, anybody looks good if Pentagon's basing you. I mean, give me a fucking break. You know what I'm saying?
Here was the thing, though. This is what Meltzer fails to realize is back then. Bro, we would use the girls in like cat fight spots.
Right.
And they would get a pop.
It would.
Like, it wasn't good. They would get a pop. And this is that, you know what I'm saying? And let me tell you, I remember the Trinity Kid Cash match. That was a very disturbing match to watch. If you go back and find it. Bro, Cash and her were dating. And Cash was lighting her up, like, on chops and stuff.
Yeah, I do remember
and
that.
And it was just, like, very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
Like a guy. And it was like, and maybe that's why I looked at it and said, that might have been one of the worst matches. Because this is before girls, workers were getting, you know, there was a handful of them.
Yeah,
you know,
and he had that old school mentality, you know, if you're going to be in the business. Yeah,
exactly. So I could see him not liking that, but I recall that it was, I remember that. Okay. Like, if you could find that on YouTube, if it's there somewhere, I would suggest you tell me what you think, you know?
They have that the Impact app.
Okay. Then it said, that made four straight bad shows, and as Raven has continually emphasized, the only way to make this weekly pay-per-view concept work is to have good shows almost every week. The live crowd was way down, estimated at 850, and the lines before the show were counted as roughly one-third of that paid. There's a lot of finger-pointing at the attendance drop, okay? Now here we go to Raven and Jarrett. A lot of talk regarding Raven and Jarrett. The big story after the show almost every week is Raven and Russo on one side and Jarrett on the other, trying to convince Dixie Carter, the daughter of the owner, that their ideas are better and trying to rally as many people behind their respective sides and talking with her. How much of this is true?
Partially true. Raven was the one doing that.
Okay.
Vince was always all strictly business. Raven was very egocentric and trying to get he was trying to take over the company. Remember that?
Right.
Yep.
He wanted to be in charge. Like Vince was never that. Vince was the writer of the show. That's it. And he would have to filter. You know, Jeff was still the head of creative, and Vince is the writer. But that's all that you still remember those shows. Vince was just off producing vignettes all day. You know, it's different thing, and like writing the show. But Vince would not politic. Vince would kind of like the thing was Dixie always leaned on Vince, mm-hmm. but she would be in the middle of Jeff. It was Jeff and Raven butting heads. And like, you know, all our the butting heads with us and Jeff were always just in creative. That was never like at the shows.
Yeah, the Raven Jeff was more personal.
More personal. That was at the show.
Why do you think it was personal? What did they have heat from somewhere before, or he didn't like the way Raven came in and tried to take over, or what?
Just typical top guy stuff. Both guys wanted to be the head guy in charge.
Yeah. All right,
Jeff.
So what, Jeff?
I remember when they had the big title match. Jeff even won the match. And I mean, you can see he remained in power for years, and Raven, you know, kind of faded away. So Jeff won that whole power struggle.
Right. Then it says, I don't even remember this. And then it says,
well, plus two. And that's when I was going to push. I remember that the sports entertainment streaming stuff was hot there for a bit. And then we did a couple things that just weren't like maybe the show before wasn't like the build up to me and Jeff that it wasn't like something happened. And I forgot what it was, but, I remember it was like, oh, fuck, it's going
to
be flat.
Well, your name is in here, so it might remind you. It might remember you when I get to it. That's why I wanted to get your point of view. Yeah. Then it says, tell me how much of this is true. It says, Russo's side turns in a show on Thursday and complains that Jarrett doesn't come back with the changes until Tuesday, late at night, and Russo's too tired to argue with him.
you can ask Vince about that.
Good strategy.
I don't – well, after the show, like we would do – when between – us at the, you know, getting together and writing the shows, I really wouldn't get back till like we were driving up to Nashville the next Wednesday. You know, I didn't anything in between with Jeff and Vid, you know, I was completely out of that process.
All right. I don't even remember this because my name is in it. So it says, a major topic of discussion was that during the show, Conan and Ron Killings attacked Ron and Don Harris in the back of the building with a loaded sock and a baseball bat. The Harris twins were back twice on the show, showing no signs of a beating and never vying revenge, nor was the beating ever acknowledged. Don West actually brought this up before the show at a production meeting, and Jared said that the twins wouldn't be seen until 30 minutes after the beating. There is a feeling that because West came in less than a year ago with no product knowledge, that even though he's been a fast study, Jeff and more so Jerry don't take seriously his questions about the show. You remember any of this?
Not that specifically. Okay. You brought Vince, I just remember those shows were very busy for 2 hours. Like there's a lot going on, right?
Yeah. The biggest controversy, here we go. The biggest controversy involved Raven and Jarrett. Raven, see if you remember this. Raven suffered a head injury the night before working an indie match with D'Lo Brown in Oshkosh, Ontario.
I remember this, yes.
Okay. The injury must have been legit because several wrestlers noted the swelling he had on the left side of his head. He was complaining about it and said he had a minor concussion. Huh? Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. He said he had a minor concussion and asked for his match to be delayed a week. Jarrett told him he had to suck it up. And since Jarrett had been around for so long, he probably at least considered the idea that Raven was trying to avoid doing the planned job for Glenn Gilberti. Even though the finish was the return of Vince Russo as a character, hitting Raven with a bat. Gilberti really isn't over as a headliner, and Raven is the hottest guy in the company. But Jarrett was defending against Gilberti on 6-4, so Gilberti needed the boost. Right. But Raven – okay.
Yeah, that's the thing. Let me tell you this, too. I remember this. I really didn't want to be in, like, the title picture.
Right.
My gimmick going up then was like kind of like the shit disturber picture. Right. And I think Jeff kind of like maybe wanted me, but I was getting, that's a lie. We were getting,
you were getting a good reaction.
We were getting sports entertainment. We were putting good heat on us. Right.
Yeah.
But I just remember there was a thing that like, you know, it was obvious that Raven and Jeff should have been the angle, you know what I'm saying? And I think Jeff was kind of like fighting against that because he knew Raven behind the scenes was trying to politic to be in charge of the company, trying to, you know what I'm saying? So Jeff kind of went with me, but here was the other thing too that nobody
really
knew about.
And one great thing about Raven that you got to give him credit for, Raven had no trepidation bearing Jarrett in public or in person or in private.
There was a lot of heat between those two.
Right.
It was funny too because there was a lot of heat between those two. We all saw it, but everybody else was having a good time at those shows.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's like they were fun shows, right? So, but I will say this. Do you know who was actually politicking at one point for me to be the world champion?
No.
Jerry Jarrett. And I don't know. When I heard that, I was like, really? Because I knew that he really wasn't a fan, but he liked what I was doing on the thing. Like I said, I went from the leader of Sports Entertainment Extreme, and like within like a 6 week period, I was fighting Jeff for the belt. I know I wouldn't have. I actually think I was.
But you were over at that time.
I was over, but I still felt, you know.
But they didn't push you as a top guy.
Well, they were pushing me like as in the top guy angles because we were everything.
Well, now a lot of this stuff, one, yeah. This one, yeah, here.
Well, there was a lot of stuff going on. I fucked AJ. Yeah. Then I had a little thing with AJ for like 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks actually, and that kind of built me up to fight Jeff, you know. But that's all I did. My angle with AJ was actually better than the one with me and Jeff. But the whole thing was the Sports Entertainment Extreme. Our thing was we were telling the story that Jeff was in charge of the company, and the only reason that he's got the belt is because he owns the company,
right?
And we were telling that because it was all a lot of behind. You know, we were talking about all this,
right?
And I just remember Raven. Like I said, because when Raven and Jeff ended up wrestling each other, they drew a really good house.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And it was obvious those two were on a collision course. And here's another thing too that happened during all this. When I am going into the match with Jeff, my back had started hurting like a week before. Like I'd always have recurring back problems, but it was like fuck, you know, that I went in with Jeff and my back was not 100%. I think maybe a week or two after that match is when I blew my back out and got hurt and was out for a couple months, like where I actually had the back spasms in the right after the I think it was me and Shane against Jeff and Raven, maybe even like they had gotten, I don't know what, but whatever happened, I actually got my back went out. I blew my back out. Right. And let me tell you this too. There's another funny thing because it was me, Raven, Russo, Sanders, and Perry would drive up in the car to the show, right? And those were actually some pretty good creative meetings there because there's a lot of ideas. You know, Perry was very smart to the business too, and Sanders did some stuff. So they actually had a lot of good ideas. Of course, Raven was always, you know, trying to book his stuff and everything. But I was kind of like even though when they were pushing me, I was still more for the other angles, right? But the funny thing is, like, remember how Raven used to complain? Maybe you were here in the locker room when this happened. Remember when Raven complained all the time? He was just always complaining, right? Like the time we complained about it, and he had a shoot. Broke because D'Lo would hit him in the side of the head with a kendo stick, and he for a shoot like he was fucked up. But right. This is
it even, it even because, says here that
yes, that was yeah. a shoot. No. Okay, no. But I will say this: do you remember the match that I blew my back out on? Okay, Raven like actually had jumped over the top rope or something, and I tried to catch him, but my back was saying, and he landed bad and hurt his ankle, his heel, and I like actually after the match, I was actually laying on the mats outside the ring. I couldn't move. And they had to carry me to the back. When they carried me to the back, it took me to the back locker room in the corner, you know? The one like if you're walking out of – not that the sex locker room that was in the far corner, but we yeah, went back to the main locker room.
Yeah, you guys
locker,
were always
right?
in – like
we had a little shot. Area back
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right. So do you remember this? When we went back there, Raven was grabbing his ankle going, oh. He was like going, oh, my God, my ankle. Oh, you fucked up. Like – he was just complaining like as loud as can be. And here I was, literally couldn't move.
Right.
And I finally like yelled, I go, Raven, will you shut the fuck up because yeah. I fucking hurt. You know, I couldn't even move. And like when I looked up to look in the mirror, I was all twisted like this because I had back spasms. Mm. And everybody was looking at me going, oh shit, you're fucked up. Girl, like, then Raven actually shut up from complaining all the time because I remember he would just always constantly complain right. all the time back then.
And let me, yes, you just brought up a name and it just brought up a story that I remembered. Perry Saturn. Listen to right. this. So one time we were in the dressing room and like back then I used to use the N-word a lot, right? Mm-hmm. But usually like when brothers that I knew, like right. Ron Killings and, you know, right. New Jack and shit like that, mm-hmm. Or Puerto Rican guys, because they use that shit a lot. And mm-hmm. so I said something like, man, these N-words are tripping or something like that, right? And mm-hmm. I kept talking. And Perry Saturn decided to use the N-word. Bro, New Jack went off. He goes, I dare you to say that fucking word again. And he goes, what are you talking about? He goes, you know what I'm talking about. I double dare you, motherfucker, to say that motherfucking word again, bro. And Perry very thankfully did not because he was right. about to go off, bro. He right. was fucking incensed. But anyways, so here we go with the okay. But Raven was furious and it was the talk after the show. And reportedly Raven was throwing up during the was throwing up during much of the week due to the concussion. Jarrett told Raven he could do a 5-minute match, but he wanted a match and wanted to get Birdie over. Raven didn't want a short match because he didn't want to be in a stinker main event. So he, on his own volition, wound up there for 15:35. One spot where Raven would kick out of the Siakalypse was pulled from the match because Raven couldn't take the move. Raven had it won when Sandman started whacking him with a cane in the back. Jarrett saved Raven, since at the end of their much-talked-about promo, Jarrett said he was going to make sure Raven was 100% when they finally had their rematch, so he was Raven's protector for now. The crowd, which wasn't into much all night, got into the end of the match after a sluggish start. Raven told Gilberti to avoid anything to the head, and Gilberti, whose offense comes across like a prelim guy anyway, looked worse trying to be careful and worked extra light because every blow was hurting Raven bad. The current plan for the anniversary show is Jeb versus Gilberti versus Raven in a three-way. Did that ever happen?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I can't remember that specifically.
No. Let me see. There was one more thing I wanted to bring up here. Jarrett and Raven had an in-ring worked confrontation, which was weird. The idea was not to turn either guy. Jarrett seemed to have 75% support when he was out by himself, but there was a vociferous heel corner, and Jarrett was insulting them. It was said this was Russo's call, and Jarrett wanted to just not acknowledge the boos. Raven came out and called Jarrett the game, which started a light Triple J chant. Raven talked about politics and backstabbing and compared Jarrett to Shane and Stephanie McMahon. Jarrett made a comeback saying that nobody wanted Raven to be champion, and basically he called him a drug addict. And I remember this because I talked to Jeff about it after it, saying he was shooting up backstage at one point. Fans were booing Jarrett by the end, particularly when calling Raven a drug addict. Do you remember this?
Yeah, because Raven, because we were a 3-month process.
I remember this.
Of turning Jeff heel. Slow turn. Like, we're basically everything, you know, the pressure of being the owner is getting to him, and he's starting to heal and shit, like he's turned into a bad guy. Because we would always do spots where, like, he would, you know, the old thing where you turn around and he would hit the baby face with the chair, but he's acting like he didn't know who it was, you know, type thing. We would do, there was a lot of storytelling like that.
Right. So you were turning him heel at this point, Jared, when he said he was a drug addict?
It had been started before that. He was still, bro, there's
So he was trying to get heel heat.
There's a promo that I cut. There's like a month before that we started laying the groundwork for him being a heel. And I remember one of the promos I cut. Like, there's a me and AJ have a brawl, and it starts off because we're recruiting D'Lo. We're trying to recruit D'Lo into sports entertainment. He comes in, and basically he'd been promised a title shot. Or he wanted to come in for a title shot. Like, we were trying to get him to come in Sports Entertainment Extreme, but he ended up, you know, it was a good pitch. But, like, so there was I actually said, like, in the promo, I had said before AJ come, because I just screwed AJ out of his shot the week before, right? So I'm in the ring telling D'Lo that we're going to be in his corner tonight and stuff. And, you know, I was by myself and, like, well, you know, but one of the things I said, I said, Jeff Jarrett is not a good guy. It's not a good guy. I go, the only reason Jeff Jarrett is a good guy is because he's wrestling in his hometown and these people believe his bullshit. And like, but he was, and we were doing that because he wasn't really wrestling like a good guy. He was doing a lot of heel, but like he was up against the heel faction, but he was still doing heelish stuff. And so that's how we were like, you know, twisting that. And maybe that could have, like, actually, I don't know if it had affected that crowd. Because I don't know if they wanted
This is what I remember, because I remember this. I remember hearing this promo, and now that I'm thinking that I told this to Jeff, Jeff must have been thinking, how high is this motherfucker if he doesn't realize that I'm being a heel? Because I thought he was a babyface, and when he came back, I go, bro, that's not smart to say, because all those motherfuckers out there are taking drugs too. So right. When you say that he's taking drugs and he's a drug addict, they're like, yeah, so are we, motherfucker.
Right, yeah.
I mean, I don't understand what that was supposed to accomplish.
Yeah.
But I remember telling him that, but I didn't know they were turning him heel. I thought he was still a baby face. Then there's another little story here, which I do remember. It says, they basically acknowledge Eric Watts was sleeping with Goldilocks, but she wanted to break up with him since he's a wrestler. He said he was an entertainer. A new girl in a nurse's outfit, Ronnie Stevens, a.k.a. Simply Luscious from ROH, beat up Kid Cash backstage. Remember this? I do remember this. He says, after Cash told her his groin was sore and he needed an oral exam of it.
Bro, we were very misogynistic on that show. Like, we would treat it like, you know, like there'd be cat fights. We'd go, let him go.
Then, but here's the other one. Then she went to check. He turned on her thinking she was a spy for Tracy. She beat him up, which made perfect sense. So he was holding his groin from a low blow and all shaken for his match when the luchador would reveal himself. And it ended up as Trinity to no reaction. Let me see. Okay, here's another one. See if this is true. It says, there was post-match finger pointing about the lack of crowd reactions. Jarrett believes in faces and heels while Russo thinks they are passe. Jarrett wants to be a face, but much of the crowd wants him as a heel. Raven is supposed to be a heel, but feels he has to be a face because of the crowd wanting him to be, even though he doesn't want to. Carter wants Jarrett as a heel, but Jarrett has a lot of pull since he's still minority owner and largely runs the show.
100% true. That crowd too, as you got to understand. So this is the era, like coming out of the attitude era, 2001, 2002, 2003, we started seeing like the rise of the smart mark crowd, but the crowd at the Nashville Fairgrounds was a mixture of the old school, Southern wrestling fans and the smart marks, you know what I'm saying? So it was always kind of like, you kind of got that vibe. And like, Vince's thing was, he just always wanted to tell stories. Just whoever comes up. But Jeff just wanted – Jeff was always like this. He wanted the baby face to do the baby face things and the heel to do the heel things.
Right.
Vince was always like, what would your character do given a situation? Like, if I did this to you, what would you do? And that was always a question we always asked. Like, if Jerry Lynn – because you were doing – when you – this was around the time – like the month before is when you had started doing your angle with Jerry Lynn because you thought he was ripping off Lucha Libre.
Right.
Right. And remember you had like the sit down with like him and Tanay, and it's just like for a shoot. If Tanay would ask a question, what would your answer be?
Right.
And remember we used to do that. And you would answer like how you would just shoot your character.
Right. That was a great Jerry promo Lynn, because it was from my heart. It's what I actually felt.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what Vince would like to do because those sit downs were good because Tanay would just, okay, it wasn't even that scripted. Remember that? He would say, I'm going to ask this, and this. And he would say,
because I remember Tanay when he was answering me, I go, and you don't sit there looking at me. You're a corporate sellout. You started out commentating Lucha Libre and you sit there while X Division rips off our fucking name and our style and changes it. And I was like, and I go, who's the highest paid, boxer right now? Oscar De La Hoya and some other Latino guy. And who's the highest? And
Jerry Lynn's reaction to all this was he would kind of backtrack. He's like, hey, I've always given respect to it was kind of like a good problem because, like, you were hitting him with facts, and he really didn't have a lot to come back with. It's like you kind of buried him, But that's how there was that era was the first time where we were just like, asking, he'd talk to character guys. Right. If we did this, what would you do?
Right.
What would you do? And like, that's right. Because here's what Vince wanted to do. Remember, Vince would just come out
and
in the middle of the show.
Real good, man.
But sometimes Vince has a shoot. Would just go out there in the middle of the show without telling anybody and cut a promo to see who could do this, because ultimately that's what he wanted the show to be like. Right. If everybody was confident in their characters, what would you do if somebody said just completely organic stuff? And we had and it's funny too, because like when he's writing this right now, right? This is 2003. Okay. This is coming off the heels of Rock and Austin. Now they're kind of, now the WWE and doing, but they had a very strong period of time where there was, the mic work was great, So now you had a bunch of like guys that were professionals, because a lot of us have been in WCW, guys have been in ECW, they're professionals, but like, they weren't as good on the mic as like Rock and Austin and stuff. So Vince is trying to give like a lot of these guys like leeway on the mic to see who can that's the thing. Like, everybody talks about Vince Russo shows and stuff, but back then he wasn't writing a lot. We were just writing the angles and basically go, hey, what would you say here? You did all your material. What you're doing. I just sit down today. That's where we were going. But Jeff ultimately, no, it can't be like that. Baby faces here. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, think of if somebody else would have been in, if Jeff would not have been there, we could have seen like another Evolution Wrestling, because we could have literally like done just like so much stuff on the fly. Like if somebody's cutting a promo in the ring, you know, or something. Like if you're in the back.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Do you think we, honestly, do you think you could have gotten further and we would have been more successful if Jeff wasn't in charge?
Oh yeah, for sure. With that type of stuff. Because here's the thing too, Dutch. You know, Jeff still, even though wrestling had been doing it for years, WWE, even WCW, Jeff still had to explain why the camera was there.
Which you don't need to explain.
Of course. But he was still adamant about right. that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, you know, and then Dutch, and me and Vincent, even Dutch was like, you know, we're all on board with, we don't need it because there's so much more stuff you can do, you know? And
plus, it doesn't need to be explained.
I'm aware
it's
of that.
It's a fucking TV show.
I'm yeah. aware of that.
Yeah.
But, and so Jeff was just still setting his old, he said, still too many old school ways he was married to, you know, that we could have like really started evolving that. Into kind of like an ad lib, you know, what do you call it? Open mic type show, you know, because a lot of guys were cutting good promos. New Jack was cutting good promos. Raven was cutting good promos. You were cutting good promos. BG James is cutting good promos. You know, but there's a lot of good talkers on that show, you know.
Well,
Tanae was really good on the mic, you know, and stuff. So, yeah, I want to go. Okay. I want to go okay. somewhere else.
Let me just one last thing here. And so last thing. This is something that I wanted to, this is the last thing I wanted to ask you. Most people don't even know who he is, but the only reason that I'm bringing him up is because his name is here. And when I saw his name, I just finished reading the Eric Bischoff book, Controversy mm-hmm. Creates Crash. And when this guy's right. name came up, he was like, this is one of the most uncreative guys I've ever met. So it said, lots of talk about Bill Banks coming in to help with the writing. A, did he ever come in? And B, was he ever any good?
He gets a lot of heat now.
Because like, Eric just no. buried him. And I remember when I was in WCW, I never saw anything in him.
Here's exactly what we would use Bill Banks for.
Eric's coming next week, by the way.
Oh, good. Because I want to talk. I'm gonna give you something. This is what I want to discuss with Eric, okay?
Yeah.
But before that,
yeah.
Banks contributed literally nothing in the booking meetings. I don't know why. Like, you know, but he was –
Who brought him in? Do you remember?
Vince did. We had him in because Bill did a lot of stuff production wise,
like go for like stuff,
post production. You know, just like he. Yeah. No. Like we'd have Jeremy and Bill Banks would be there because they would be like, you know, when we leave Nashville, they're still there in the office and they're like, okay, we need this, we need a product. We got to set up.
Bill lived in Nashville too.
Yeah. So
he started. Let me just real quick interject this. He started with WWE Conan as a website guy. And then he right. left WWE to join Vince at WCW. And then I guess right. also went to TNA. That's where he started.
He was one of those introverted, nerdy, you know, computer nerd type guys behind the scenes, but as a good hand behind the scenes because he's eating for production. Here's what he would contribute. He never, like, we literally, it was a joke in the booking meetings. We were like, what do you think, Bill? And be like, oh, no. I don't know. But so here's the thing. We would all, especially in WCW, if me, Terry, Ed, and Vince were talking about something and we had two guys were on one side and two guys were on the other side, we would look at Bill and say, what do you think? And if he, 95% of the time, he'd be like, I don't know. But like once out of every 20 times he'd do it, he'd be like, well, I think this should happen. Right. And he would like break the tie. But that, right. but that's, you know, but you break the tie and like, you know, and if we were booking stuff that required vignettes or something, Bill would be taking.
So you want the most uncreative guy to break a tie. Okay, I like
But he's the guy that like what we're talking about is like he has to like when we're leaving the meeting, he needs to start going and like organize. Hey, look, this is what we're probably going to start needing for the show this week, production wise. You know what I'm saying? That's what he would do.
No, well, the guy that's making copies of formats, that's not the guy I'm going to ask him for creative decisions. But I will tell you this, that I would love to see a conversation between him and Pee-wee on a bomber. I don't care. What did he say?
Want a bomber?
No, but what was the other guy? What would Bill Banks always say? I don't know.
I forget.
I don't know.
You just said it.
Want a bomber?
No, you'd always ask him, hey, Bill, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know.
Want a bomber? I don't know.
They are.
I don't know.
I guess so. Ahead, I don't know.
I've heard Bruce and Conrad make – well, Conrad would bring this up to Bruce on their show, and Bruce would make fun of Banks for his creative resume skills. Because right. if you look at his resume on LinkedIn, it says that he was a member of the creative writing team for Raw and USA, SmackDown, and three-hour pay-per-view broadcasts, produced vignettes and segments of various talent. So he says he was on the WWE creative team.
He was contributed, but everybody's accurate. He contributed nothing to the meetings.
Yeah,
but we wouldn't. He but he would he wouldn't. By his own admission, he would say that. It's he never would speak up. He was just like a very soft-spoken like guy that just was there, you know? So it's like...
But that's basically
super
the same...
Super nerdy, super introverted.
The same stuff he says for WCW and TNA, that he was a member of the creative team and all that.
But let me tell you what, let me tell you what he was. You could hear him on Pro. He was a shooter on WCW Live. On WCW Live?
Yeah.
You listen to him on WCW Live, he is very outspoken, he would bury our production at WCW compared to WWE and stuff like that. He was very outspoken on that show. You know, maybe that's why Eric, you know, didn't like it. But yeah, but creatively, absolutely, no, he brought nothing to the table. But it was we still have him there for some reason because it's funny. It was like the funny spot. We joke like, Bill, what do you think? I don't know.
Want a bomber?
But this is what I want to talk to Eric about.
Want a bomber?